This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and of course, I'm a small animal veterinarian, and this is the go-to podcast for the latest news and updates in cat care. So I'd like to talk about something today that is exciting to me on the front of FIP. And we've talked about FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, before, but there are some new things we want to learn. And because this disease is so serious and so important, that is the reason that I have Steve Dale with me today. Steve has FIP concerns as one of his pet projects, if you will, and he's made a point to educate and inform everyone about this disease. So I am very excited to take a quick break and then come back with Steve and find out everything we need to know right now about FIP. We'll be right back. Hey there, cat lovers. This is Dr. Cat from Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. Did you know that there are an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay and neuter, that number is just going to keep growing. Not only does spaying and neutering humanely reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10.org. Well, nine lives are great, but let's add another one and give them 10.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. As I mentioned before, I have Steve Dale. Welcome back, Steve.
Oh, it's always good to talk to you, Dr. Prim. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's fun. Now, many of my listeners are familiar with you because you've been with us before. But for those that are just becoming acquainted with you, can you give us a quick bio about who you are and what you do? Because it's pretty fun.
I'm a certified animal behavior consultant. I host various radio shows about pets. I appear on television. I've contributed to or have authored pet books. And I am most, I think, relevant to this conversation. I've been a board member of the WIN Feline Foundation for, I don't know, about 15 years or so. Clearly, they need better term limits or something. And incidentally, that same nonprofit is now called the Every Cat Health Foundation, same organization, same mission, which is to fund cat health studies. So pretty much, Dr. Prim, almost everything you do every day regarding cats and cat health, the cat comes in and you say, oh my gosh, this cat has diabetes. Or, oh my gosh, this cat, I believe, is in stage 2 renal failure or has kidney disease. All of that information and so much more was once funded by this organization called the Every Cat Health Foundation, a nonprofit. But part of our mission is to educate, which is about what we're about to do today.
That is wonderful. So just to kind of kick this off, historically, feline infectious peritonitis has been kind of a grim disease because there were limited effective treatments, and the Every Cat Foundation really stepped up to help us, you know, get a handle on that. And so, Steve, let's give my listeners a little bit of a history, because it's sort of interesting how this all came about. Let's give them a history lesson about FIP.
I think that is interesting, and I think it's important. It's also complicated. Going way back in time, decades and decades ago, we knew that kittens, primarily were talking kittens, but not exclusively kittens, were dying of something that wasn't even identified yet and eventually called feline infectious peritonitis. But the disease process, it took years to understand. And here's why. It turns out kittens who get the coronavirus, which is not uncommon, they get the coronavirus, the feline coronavirus. No chance of human beings getting this coronavirus. They get this coronavirus through exposure of other kittens or other cat species. The thing is, by the time they call you, Dr. Prim, and say, my kitten isn't acting quite right, and usually the sign is runny stool or an upset tummy in one shape or form in kittens, by the time you call back, the kitten is fine. It is pretty much, and I'd like your take on this if you disagree, but it is pretty much in of itself a benign virus in cats, not necessarily, if we recently have found out in people, but in cats, it really is not an issue. Has that been your experience?
It has. But you know what? When it is an issue, it's an issue. It's a really big issue. And it's just kind of sad and devastating. But I do think that it is important and interesting to point out that it's a coronavirus, which we've all heard about and talked about, you know, as of the last few years. So yeah, I would say it's not a thing until it's a thing.
And when it becomes a thing is when inside the cat, for reasons we still do not understand, this otherwise benign or greatly benign coronavirus transforms into an immune-mediated disease, something entirely different. And that is called feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP, which had always been considered fatal. And in about 2017 or so, Dr. Niels Petersen, University of California, Davis, now emeritus, he's now retired, and he's done so much in the realm of feline infectious disease, not only in helping us to better understand FIP, but also in the world of dogs to help us better understand and treat brachiocephalic dogs, for example. But in the cat world, he has made such an enormous difference. And he came to us, our board, and he said, I think I've got it. I think I've got a drug that had been used greatly ineffectively for humans with Ebola virus that he thought could help these kittens with FIP. And he went to the pharmaceutical company Gilead, and they gave him permission to use the drug, but he needed funding to do a clinical trial. And we looked at, or our experts who understand the chemistry of these things way better than I do, looked at the composition of that drug and said, yes, that drug might potentially, let's try it, do the trick. And after all, we are talking about a disease that's fatal. So the worst thing that can happen is the disease will continue to be fatal. But it made sense that this drug might help. Might help? It turned out to cure these kittens. No one even expected that. Yes, there were some in some kitten side effects, but my gosh, you're talking about a life-threatening disease that is now being cured. And the study was replicated again with great success. Then the pharmaceutical company, which is going to be a part of the story, pulled or prevented the ability to continue use for cats. So now we know the composition of the drug. So experts said we can replicate this. They did. And that replication of that drug was even better. So that's where we are in 2019, when the nonprofit organization that funded all this brought people together from all over the world, people who at one time or another in their career were funded by this organization, including Dr. Petersen at UC Davis, to better understand FIP. Dr. Petersen led this entire symposium. And at that symposium, I'm the dude who had the honor of standing up there and saying, based on what all the experts, and indeed experts, that's the right word, all these experts in the room have said, FIP is now considered treatable and is no longer considered fatal. And textbooks from here on out will change that terminology, will note which antiviral drug can work. And in fact, based on that meeting, an effort was made that is still being made now that I'll talk about to get our, in the U.S., Food and Drug Administration, Center for Veterinary Medicine to approve that drug. Well, When I made the announcement, Dr. Prim, I mean, imagine making that announcement. And I looked to my right. I remember exactly where Dr. Elizabeth Colleran was seated. And I know she was a guest previously on your show talking about FIP. And tears were just streaming down her face. And I mean, you tell me, is there anything worse than communicating previously to a cat parent that your little kitten has this disease that I can't do a thing about?
You know, I was just about to say that there are not that many infectious diseases in cats where we say this is 100% fatal. And these are kittens, a lot of times, that people are so excited about. They've gone to the shelter, they've picked out this kitten, they were so happily buying toys and litter boxes and kitten beds, and I have to tell them this. And so this has been a huge thing. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because veterinarians were so sad about this, and new kitten parents were so sad. And this is just a game changer. It's so important.
Well, you're right. Except the game changer began to occur more quickly in other countries than America. And for reasons I can't explain, the pharmaceutical company refused to release their version of the drug. By the way, one thing happened, and that was the pandemic. And that's a part of the story. So the human coronavirus, I mean, we get coronaviruses we have for decades and decades and decades, hundreds of years, that we call the common cold. But this new novel coronavirus comes about, creates a pandemic on the planet. Our physicians, desperate to try anything, saw the scientific papers, we believe, from Dr. Peterson that we funded and said, well, I know human beings are not cats. FIP isn't even directly, it's related to a coronavirus. It stems from a coronavirus, but it in itself isn't. But still, let's give it all a try. And they did. And that drug called Remdesivir has helped now. And that drug wouldn't have been used if it wasn't for our organization saying, hey, let's try it. Dr. Peterson in the first place saying, this might work, which it turned out to work. And now that same drug, Remdesivir, had been used, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of times to help save lives on our planet for people who otherwise may have passed away from the coronavirus, the human coronavirus that caused COVID-19. So that's actually a part of the story, too. I mean, it's this long, crazy story, which continues this way. So other nations began to approve the drug or similar drugs, because once you know the compound, apparently you can create something. I'm not a pharmacist or a chemist, but can create things that do work. And that did happen, but not in America. Our U.S. Food and Drug Administration, as I said, the pharmaceutical company wouldn't say, okay, you can use this on cats. They prevented release of their drug, Remdesivir, and for cats. Now it can be used, by the way, but I'll talk about that if you like. But at the same time, our U.S. Food and Drug Administration wasn't saying it's okay to use any of these compounds. So China saw the need, came in through the so-called black market, and offered a drug or two or three available on the black market for kittens with FIP. Well, as it turned out, there was early skepticism, of course. I mean, you know, this is technically illegal. How can veterinarians prescribe it? And incidentally, they can't, you can't. But I would argue you can help support these kittens, but can you even promote these websites that offer availability to these products? Well, it turns out now two published peer-reviewed studies have been done to indicate, I don't remember the exact number, but it's over 85%, somewhere in there, of these kittens are, as far as we know, cured, a word that is I use hesitantly, but it seems that's the case. So the drugs do work, but do you know for sure what you're getting from China? You don't. Do you know for sure it will arrive when it's supposed to? You don't. I mean, mostly, as I say, they do seem to work. At the very beginning, exceedingly expensive. They've come down in price, but still quite expensive. I don't believe the pet insurance companies cover them. And there's a squishy area that you can talk about better than me as to what veterinarians can do as far as these Chinese products. I mean, you can still, and I believe, I'm no lawyer, but if you prescribe something, you are in violation of the Veterinary Practice Act and can lose your license, prescribe something that isn't prescribable, really, from China. On the other hand, you could provide supportive care for these kittens, do follow-up and do blood work to see how they're doing, provide additional pain relief if needed, all those sorts of things that are really important for these kitties, provide maybe some dietary advice because they're so sick they don't feel like eating, all of these things, but it's not ideal. So you could talk about that part of this better than I before we talk about the next step, which is where we are today.
Well, yes. So that is a really good time to take a quick break because it's pretty complicated and I want to let everybody's brain sort of relax for just a minute. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Kat on Pet Life Radio. So Steve Dale and I are here discussing feline infectious peritonitis and the super interesting and convoluted history of how we got where we are. But I want to pick back up because where we are is actually way, way better than where we started. And there have been some recent changes. So Steve, pick back up. We had the Chinese scientists who saw the need to make this available for cats. And then meanwhile, all of the veterinarians here in the U.S. are trying to support these cats and get the word out. So let's pick that story back up.
So the good news is these products from China seem to work. But there's no guarantee of what you're getting. If you have a question or concern, depending on the Chinese company, you get iffy support. And if you have a complaint, well, forget about it, because this is a Chinese company doing something under the table. If you don't get the drug in the mail like you're supposed to, what do you do about it? It's an injectable that's difficult because it's a honking big injectable. And the support you get from China isn't there. Now, the good news is there is a Facebook page that does provide incredibly, incredibly wonderful support. And there are other individuals out there. And most veterinarians, I think Dr. Prim today, will provide, at first hesitant, not understanding, like, how can I get into this? But providing supportive care. So while you can't prescribe this black market drug, you can say, okay, go to the internet and find something, which people, you don't even need to tell them that. I mean, generally, these clients are motivated to do that on their own anyway. And they find a Facebook page that is hugely helpful to them, something 5.0, I'll think of it, but FIP 5.0, that isn't quite right. I can't.
I think it's FIP Warriors.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yay. Thank you. I just couldn't think of it. And they do an amazing job. So many feline veterinarians. We mentioned Dr. Collarin. She was a participant in that page. I mean, there is help out there today, but it's not ideal. So what has happened next? Still not ideal. Why America's lagging behind? I don't completely know, but it is closer, perhaps, to getting to the right place. So there is a compounded drug that is now available from Stokes Pharmacy, created the drug in part by the Bova Group. It's a chewable, so it's not that injectable that is currently being used. That chewable, the Bova Group is based in the UK, has been used there and Australia, and I believe another country or two as well, though I'm not sure which ones, are not even sure of that. But I do know Stokes Pharmacy, based in New Jersey, said, we are going to manufacture this product in the U.S. in New Jersey. We're going to compound it, incidentally, tasting like tuna. And veterinarians in most states, not every state, incidentally, can support a compounded pharmaceutical, but the vast majority of states can. So you have a client that comes in because you're in Tennessee, one of those states that can. Sadly, you have to diagnose FIP in this kitty, but now you can say, you don't have to beat around the bush and say, go to FIP Warriors 5.0, if even you want to say that. Now you can say, there is a compounded product, I can get it for you, and therefore, obviously, provide supportive care for these kittens who need that. They may need fluids, they may need other medication, advice to owners about all sorts of things, including how to get this compounded medication into the kitten. So that's one thing I was quick to ask the CEO, actually, of Stokes Pharmacy about. I've talked to him a couple of times. Very nice man. I think, personally, he wants to do this for all the right reasons. Of course, they're a for-profit organization, but still wants to do it for all the right reasons, to help these kitties in a place that is on the up and up, shall we say, and everything is above board. So if a client has a question, the client and certainly the veterinarian can ask Stokes Pharmacy, who has one-to-one availability with veterinarians. You don't have that opportunity as a veterinary professional to pick up the phone and call China or email China and say, what's going on? And if you do, which you likely don't, what answer are you going to get? How can you trust that answer? This is a company that is respectable and that has to be trustworthy by law, actually, in America, according to our law.
Okay, so it gets kind of complicated, and this is something that comes up in my practice a lot, not just about FIP, but about everything. And I was hoping you and I could just talk about it, about the FDA and regulation and drugs and federal prescription law. So you've touched upon the fact that there's no FDA-approved drug available to treat FIP, but the FDA, I guess, came out and said that they are not going to enforce the approval requirements that restricted us from using the compounded drugs. Can you expound on that just a little?
I think that from what I hear, the FDA is going to reword that statement because it made it seem as though this company is doing something that they shouldn't be doing. If that were the case, I suspect they wouldn't be doing it because they're a large company and they're responsible to American laws. So it is in most states, as I said, just fine for a company to say, we are compounding drug X. We are responsible for that compound chemical that we put together. We're responsible for that. In this case, it is the FIP drug. And I want to get this right. It's a lot of letters and numbers. It's GS441524. Because there's a couple out there with different letters and numbers for FIP. Yes, it's complicated. The bottom line is that everything isn't for everybody. And there are individuals who, for whatever the reason, may want to continue for the time being with these Chinese black market companies. And again, 85% plus success rate. I don't know the percent success rate because it's only been out there since June 1st. In America, of this other product, the compounded product. I do know that in the UK and in Australia, they've had some success with it for sure. I don't know what that success rate is, but I do know it is approved in both those places. It is not unapproved in America. And a veterinarian can, and not only for this drug, there's another issue though, too, though. The Chinese are now infiltrating the American marketplace on the human side as well, I'm told, but I know on the animal side, with, for example, a heart drug for feline hypertrophic cardiomyopathy that I don't know that it's taken off and I don't want to talk too much about it. I don't want it to take off. I don't know anything about it. And that's part of the problem. You know, so pet parents that are desperate or humans that are desperate for themselves will see something online now increasingly from China. So my guess, and it's just Steve Dale's guess, all it is, a guess, that America will be more strict about allowing anything at some point, any drugs into America from China, except those that go directly to pharmaceutical companies or our vitamins that we get from China, etc. But this kind of thing, I think there'll be a crackdown on, is my guess. Let me get back to what this is. It's a chewable. It's for nearly every cat with FIP. The chewable tastes like tuna. But as you know, you can give a healthy cat. Our cat Groucho, who's around somewhere, is about 2 years old. I think Groucho would scarf down anything, but I don't know. I could give him this chewable, and it's obviously not advised for a healthy cat. Please. But my point is, you can give a cat something novel, or try to, is the point, and that cat's going to turn up his nose or her nose on it just because it's novel at times. On top of everything else, these kittens are very sick, and greatly, they don't have an appetite. So how do you get this into the cat? There are some tricks of the trade that veterinarians know. There are some tricks of the trade that Stokes Pharmacy says they know that they're going to help pet parents with. But having said that, for some individuals who may be unable to pill any cat or to get anything in any cat, again, this is a chewable. You shouldn't have to pill, but how else can you do it for some of these kittens? So not everything is right for everybody. And only time will tell for sure what is going to fly and what isn't going to fly. Also, I'm not aware yet of the price point. I am aware, according to Stokes, that Trupanion Pet Insurance will cover this. Now, I don't believe they'll cover it if your kitten's diagnosed with FIP and then you go to the insurance company. It's just like going to a human insurance company. Once you've got, I don't know, that leukemia, God forbid, and say, cover me, you know, they're not going to cover after the fact. However, if the kitten gets pet insurance first, and then FIP is later discovered, I'm told Trupanion will cover. So that is a plus. The biggest plus of all, in theory, is the support factor that you wouldn't get from a Chinese company.
I want to highlight the importance of the veterinarian, because this is out there. It's out there on social media and it's out there on websites, but you can't go it alone, because your veterinarian's got to make this diagnosis and guide you and provide supportive care. If anybody out there is listening and they have received a diagnosis of FIP for their cat, this is very, very valuable information. If anybody out there is listening and looking at their kitten and thinking, you're losing weight and you are not doing quite right and you may have abdominal swelling, whatever, go to your veterinarian, because this information has to benefit you with your veterinarian.
I agree. It's a team effort. And while veterinarians can, in my non-legal view, provide supportive care, I don't think that any state licensing is going to come in and say, well, you're providing blood work and fluids and advice for this kitten with FIP, even though the kitten is getting drugs from China, and take away anyone's license. I don't see, in my non-legal opinion, that happening. And to my knowledge, it has not happened. Having said that, the way in which it's occurring now is not ideal. And I will tell you that what we're all waiting for, and I will say, I believe, including Stokes Pharmacy, is for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine to say, okay, company X, and I know which company they're looking at, company, but I'll call it Company X for now, I suppose. Company X, what you put in now, like 3 years ago, I think we will see the FIP drug approved as an injectable and maybe also a pill in America, but I don't think it's going to happen this year or next year, maybe not next year. Again, why it's taking so long, in part, it's because it could have been made a whole lot easier if Gilead released their product, Remdesivir. Remdesivir can now be used off-label in cats, but how do you know what the dose is for cats? You could look at what Australia is doing with Remdesivir. As a veterinarian, Dr. Prim, on the other hand, how do you even get it? And it's hugely expensive. So that is not a practical solution. I don't know that it's been done much, if at all, in America, because it is so impractical. So that company has made it very difficult. That's their right, I suppose. You know, letters have been written and all the rest. They don't seem to care. They're a big pharma company. What can I say? They can change their mind tomorrow. That would be nice. But in the meantime, we have another company with another product that I know, will work. It's just a matter of the FDA approving. Why they're dragging their paws, I can't comment. I have no clue.
It's very complicated. It's always very complicated. And that's the thing. I want this to be easy. I want my kitten owners to be able to say, okay, Dr. Prim, this is your diagnosis. What are we going to do? And I want to be able to say, here it is. And this is what we're going to do. And this is what it's going to cost. And that's the day I am waiting for. This has been so incredibly informative. As we wrap up, I just want to highlight that the landscape of FIP is really changing. I mean, we still have hurdles to overcome, but it's getting better thanks to EveryCat and all the amazing minds that care about this issue, and you, Steve Dale, thanks to you.
Oh, I don't know. It's really the EveryCat Health Foundation. And to learn more and to keep up to date on this, to follow webinars we'll be presenting, it's everycat.org, or you can check me out, simply stevedale.tv. I've spoken to veterinary professionals, not only at that 2019 meeting, but many times about FIP. And early on, when veterinarians didn't know that there is a solution, albeit from China at the time in America, every time I'd look up, tears in the eyes. I mean, you know, veterinarians don't want to, believe me, don't want to say your kitten has FIP, because mostly it is kittens, as you described earlier, previously considered fatal. And that's the hardest thing for a veterinary professional to do as well, particularly when that family might have gotten that new kitten because they're already mourning a cat that passed away. It's horrible.
Agreed. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's always fun to talk to you because you're an easy guest and you always know the answer. So thank you so much.
Well, I don't always. I wish I always knew the answers, but they do say I'm easy. You're right about that.
Easy, but not cheap, right?
Exactly.
Well, thanks to my listeners for tuning in to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your fellow cat lovers and subscribe for more updates on caring for cats in the best possible way. Thanks to my producer, Mark Winter. Couldn't do it without him. I'm Dr. Cat. We'll see you next time. Go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.